Broadcasting System, in cooperation with the United States Army and United States Air Force Recruiting Service, presents the new Mr. Ace and Jane program, a weekly half-hour comedy series starring radio's original comedy couple, the Aces. Once again, the strains of Manhattan Serenade introduce the story of Mr. Ace and his wife, Jane. Tonight, Chapter 9, entitled Jane decides to open a small business because Mr. Ace won't increase her allowance. Then Mr. Ace finds out it would have been cheaper to have increased her allowance than allow her to go into business. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it,
how my own wife gave me the business. I'll tell you how Jane opened up a millinery shop and blew her top. I'll be with you in just a moment.
Before Mr. Ace tells us his story, I want to get in my story about the United States Army and the United States Air Force. Today, more and more of America's finest young men are finding that an Army or an Air Force career offers greater opportunity than almost any civilian career. Why? Well, where else can a young man find security, education, travel, housing, and medical care? All those things, plus good pay. The answer is proved by the fact that every day 1,000 young men volunteer for our Army or our Air Force. And these men are physically and mentally the highest type men ever to be in service. Isn't that proof enough that the Army or the Air Force could be a mighty good bet for you? And now, Mr. Ace, what was that about Jane going into business for herself?
Well, you know, there comes a time in every man's life when his wife starts asking him for a little extra pin money. This doesn't seem like much, but have you priced pins at Tiffany's lately? Now, the other evening, Jane came up with a new angle.
The other evening, I came up with a new angle.
She wanted to earn some money for a rainy day so she won't feel like a parasite.
I want to earn some money for a rainy day so I won't feel like a parasol.
What's this all about, Jane?
Well, it's about my allowance.
Oh, Jane, you get an ample allowance.
Ample? You call that ample? Sample is more like it.
Well, Jane, I just can't give you any more.
Well, then I'm going to earn it myself.
Oh, what could you do?
Oh, yes, lots of things. I never talk about it, but I took domestic silence in school.
Oh, Mrs. Hush, huh? What did you have in mind doing?
Well, I made a list today of businesses I could go into to make some money. Would you like to hear them?
Not particularly.
Well, first, let me see, here it is. First, betting on horses.
Oh, great.
Well, I was reading just the other day where somebody won $1,000 on the Daily Dozen.
That's a nice business, Jane. What's next on the list?
We'll come back to that one, huh?
Yeah, we'll come back to that one.
Well, let me see. Next on the list is Charles.
Don't look at me.
I wasn't looking at you. I was trying to think what that meant. Oh, yes, Charles. That was just a note I made to have my hair done tomorrow, Charles.
Oh, I see.
Now, next I wrote hat. Oh, hat, that's nothing easy.
You're going to buy a new hat?
No, no, no. I went in to rent a book at the rental library today, and by mistake, I walked in next door to the milliner.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking why there isn't a place a girl could rent a hat like you do a book.
Hey, that's an idea. Women like to wear different hats all the time, so they rent one instead of buying one. That's a pretty novel idea.
You do, dear?
Yes, I do. Or I am. That is, if a person had a lot of hats.
Oh, well, I've got about 25 hats upon a day.
Mm-hmm. A land-lib library.
Land-lib. Oh, that's cute, dear.
You like that, huh?
Yes, I think I will.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Jane. You can't go into business. It takes capital. Advertising, mailing, bookkeeping. What about the overhead?
Overhead? I've got plenty of that. I just told you I've got 25 hats.
Oh, yes, you did. Well, that sounded like a harmless idea, a circulating hat library. But by the next morning, this simple little idea began expanding when Jane took in a partner, her brother, Paul. This character hasn't worked in 15 years. He's been waiting for his ship to come in.
I've been waiting for my ship to come in.
Of course, it's long overdue.
Of course, it's long overdue.
Actually, he's a worthless, no-good loafer.
Of course, it's long overdue.
Get a load of the way he dealt himself into Jane's little idea the next day when I wasn't around.
Yeah, Jane, I think we've got something here.
We?
I like everything about it but the name, Lend Lid Library. That isn't chic enough. When you think of women's hats, you think of something Frenchy.
Oh, yes, Paul, Frenchy. In Paris, they call a hat a chateau, don't they?
Yeah. No, it's a chapeau, not a chateau.
Oh.
Hey, that's a swell name for it. Chateau Chapeau, House of Hats.
Pardon?
Chateau de Chapeau, the House of Hats. And we'll give ourselves a couple of French-type names, like, Jeanette and, Paulette.
Jeanette and Paulette. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Which one will you be, Paul?
Oh. Jane, this was a great little idea we had.
We?
Now, the first thing we have to do is advertise.
So do I, Paul. I was just going to call up the East Side Weekly Tribune before you came. I'll call them now. No sooner said, the better.
Yes, you'll do that. Well, we can make a hat full of money out of this idea, sis. Now you've got 25 hats to start with, you say.
Oh.
Let me see. I wonder what would be a fair price for renting out a hat.
Eastside Weekly Tribune, Mr. Davis speaking.
Chateau de Chapeau, Jeanette speaking.
Who did you say?
Just fine. Mr. Davis, I want to take an ad to your little paper. How much is it?
How big an ad?
Oh, I'd say about this big.
How big is that?
Oh, about a jigger.
What?
Sis. Tell me about an inch ad every week.
About an inch ad every week. How much would that be?
Our rates are $5.25 an inch for one insertion. If you sign up for 6 months, it'll cost $106.50. You can save $30.
Well, if I can save $30, it would be cheaper to sign up for 6 months, doesn't it to you?
Yes, I did. What?
I'll be down there and sign up for 6 months, and I'll tell you what I want the ad to say.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye. Paul, I just paid $30.
Well, I think we handled our first transaction very nicely, didn't we?
We?
The girl, Jeanette, that's the old parley-boo.
Well, thus was born the firm of Jeanette and Paulette. Inc. In French, the ST is silent. What do you think happened 1 week later when the ad appeared in the Eastside Weekly Tribune? The Eastside Milliners Association, realizing this idea of Jane's was the greatest menace to their hat business since the wind-blown Bob, bought out Jeanette and Paulette for 36,000 francs, $300 American money, before they even rented out one hat. Now, while my brother-in-law, Paulette, is counting out the profits, his partner, the Mademoiselle from Armentières, is on the telephone, liquidating the firm's one outstanding obligation.
Hello, Mr. Davis. This is Mrs. Hayes.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Hayes.
Just fine. I want to cancel that ad, Mr. Davis. We won't need it anymore. We sold out our business to the Milliners Association.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Hayes, but you signed up for 6 months. It was an uncancelable contract.
Yes, wasn't it? And we enjoyed it, too.
What?
We won't be needing it anymore.
Yeah, but that's what I'm telling you. You can't cancel it. You've only used the ad once. You still owe $101.25.
Mr. Davis, you're not paying attention.
Jane, what's going on there?
Neither do I, Paul. Maybe you ought to talk to him. Oh, Mr. Davis, I'll let you talk to my partner, Paulette.
All right, be glad to.
Hello, Mr. Davis.
Yes, madam.
Look, Mr. Davis, we're out of business and we want to cancel that advertising phase.
Okay, you cancel and I'll sue for it.
You sue who? Are you kidding? You can't bluff my sister.
I'm not bluffing.
Well, you go ahead and sue. She'll fight me through every court in the country, but not 1 cent will she pay you. Millions for defense, but not 1 cent for the Tribune. Goodbye, Mr. Davis. Well, you really told him, Jane.
What? What did I say? What happened?
He's just trying to scare you, Jane.
You want to know a secret, Paul?
What?
I am scared.
Well, 49,999,998 Frenchmen can't be wrong. But these two were. Mr. Davis sued him, and Paul got Jane a cheap lawyer. You know, when a storm's brewing, some people get messages from their corns. In my case, I get corny messages from my ulcers. They just thrive on trouble. When I got the news about Jane's lawsuit, one of my ulcers said to the other ulcer,
Hey, what's going on up there? Is there no negativity? He's too upset to eat, Hubble. His wife just got sued and she has to go to court.
Sued, huh?
Well, looks like we'll be up all night again, Lester. Yeah, I guess so. Hey, remember that other time he went to court?
Hey, Lester, Doc, he comes from bicarbonate and soda.
Lester was just about to remind Hubble of the time a few weeks ago when Jane went to court. That time she was only on the jury, and I was only a spectator, and somehow I got fined $50. Now, I wasn't going to be there this time, not with Jane being sued. And with a judge like that Judge Edwards she had before, I'd wind up in Alcatraz.
All right, next case, the Eastside Tribune versus Janet and Paulette. Come on, step forward quickly. What's taking so long? Who's the lawyer for the defense?
I am, Judge Edwards, and my clients are ready.
Well, where are they?
Here we are, Judge Edwards.
What?
Come on, Paul.
That voice. Oh, no, not you again.
Hello, Judge Edwards. Remember me?
Mrs. A.
I'm just fine. I jurored on a jury once in your court. Are you in all the courts, Judge Edwards?
Mrs. A., since last we met before the Bar of Justice, I have been under the care of a physician who advised me to transfer my judicial activities to a lower court of a less strenuous nature. And I wish to warn you from the outset that I remember only too well the horseplay you indulged in at our last meeting, and that I will not tolerate the duplication of that horseplay in this courtroom!
But, Jack Edwards, I'm not being sued for playing horses.
Order! Wait! Now stop that! I warned you, Mrs. A.
Your Honor, as counsel for the defendants, I wish to state that this action brought against the firm of Jeanette and Paulette is entirely inequitable and unconstitutional. In this great land of opportunity and free enterprise, from the rocky coast of Maine to the sun-kissed shores of California.
Just a minute, you! This whole case involves a measly $101.25. Let's don't make it a national issue. Cut out the oratory and stick to the facts. Where's the lawyer for the plaintiff?
Here, Your Honor. And unlike my worthy colleague, I will present facts instead of oratory.
Good, good.
I will call Stanley Davis, owner of the East Side Weekly Tribune, to tell his story.
Good, good.
Mr. Davis will tell his story in a few short words.
Good, good.
Your Honor, this woman called me up and contracted for 6 months of advertising at a discount. She used the ad 1 week and then decided she didn't want it anymore.
I have her signature on a contract and she can't do this to me. That'll be for this court to decide, not you.
Good, good.
All right, defendants, where are they? Who's Janet and Paulette?
I'm Janet, Judge Edwards.
Yes, I know. Where's your partner? Who's Paulette?
That's me, Your Honor.
What?
I'm Paulette.
Well, how do you do?
That's not our real names, Judge Edwards. He's my brother Paul. We just took those names. They're facetious.
Now what?
We made them up. Because when we decided to rent out hats, we thought it would be more
fun. Rent out what?
Hats.
Hats!
You see, instead of buying a hat, a girl could come in and rent a hat. And then she brings it back, and she can rent another one. And that way, she can have different hats all the time. Or as we call them in the trade, chateaus. Or is it chapeaux? Which is it?
I should have gone to a still lower court. Mrs. A., how do you plead?
Beg pardon?
How do you plead?
With outstretched arms, I dear.
No. Order in this court. Now stop that laughing. I will not tolerate this. Mrs. H., are you guilty or not guilty?
Well, if I get my choice, not guilty, of course.
Your Honor, how can she say she's not guilty when I have here the contract with her name on it? And that of her partner, too.
Oh, well, if you're going to bring that into court and show it around, what chance have we got?
Silence!
Your Honor, this is our defense. When the defendant signed this contract, they signed it as officers of a corporation. Said corporation never having been duly incorporated and not in existence at this time.
Corporation not existing. Mrs. Ace, when you signed this contract, were you incorporated?
Oh, no, Judge. I never touched a drop.
I am ordering this courtroom. Now stop that! It is quite evident to this court that the East Side Tribune undertook to do business with a corporation which never existed and had no money back of it,
and I am sure never made any money out of such a ridiculous venture. Is that right, Mrs. Ames?
How's that again, please?
Did you make any money out of breaking a hat to anyone?
Oh, no, because...
Of course you didn't. I never heard of such a ridiculous business. Are you still in business?
Oh, no, because we...
Case dismissed.
Oh, no, because
we... I said case dismissed. Mrs. Ames, get out of this courtroom. And you too, Paulette.
Come on,
Ted,
let's go.
Is it all over, Judge Edwards? We can keep the $300?
I don't care what you do with the 300. What 300?
The 300 we got when we sold the business.
You sold that business for $300?
Let's go, Ted. The case is dismissed.
Just a minute, Paulette. It is now the decision of this court that Janet and Paulette incorporated are sober. I mean incorporated or unincorporated. Mrs. Hayes, you are held responsible for the 6 months advertising space you contracted for in the Eastside Tribune. Now, goodbye, Mrs. Hayes. And you who, Paulette?
So the two mad hatters got stuck for the 6 months advertising space. That wouldn't have been so bad, except that they had already spent the whole $300. One of the partners, Paulette, needed a few things desperately. So he bought himself a pair of cotton shorts and a television set. Janet, the one with the 25 hats, bought herself, of all things, some new hats. Everybody was happy but Mr. Davis, who was screaming for his money. This is how things stood when Ken Roberts dropped in the next morning. He's our next-door neighbor, the radio announcer. You hear him all the time doing commercials
this program is brought to you by the makers of Besame, the all-purpose mucho.
I can never quite understand what he's selling.
Mucho comes in two sizes, the regular size mucho and the king size. Mucho, mucho.
I think he makes that stuff up.
Remember, mucho is untouched by human hands. Our employees kick it into the boxes with their feet.
I must remember not to get some of that. Well, anyhow, when Ken came to the house the next morning, he gave the two bonus barons some free advice. It was good for nothing. Now, look, kid, as long as you have to pay for the space anyway, why not use it for something that'll get your money back? Selling something or renting a room.
Renting a room? We have got a spare room.
Well, if you advertise your room for rent and you rent it, you'll have the money to pay for the ad.
Hey, sis, that's an idea. You have got that room back there,
but how will your husband, will he stand for it?
Oh, we'll cross him when we come to it. Okay, Paul, let's advertise room for rent.
I'll write the ad now, Jane, and you can call up Mr. Davis and tell him to run it.
That's the idea. If you have a message to deliver, deliver it. Don't waste all that good advertising space. Like, I have this message to deliver on a radio program tonight. Want to hear this, Jane?
I'm trapped. What can I do?
Okay. With spring in the air and high school graduation time not far away, the spirit of adventure takes high place in the minds of young men. Already, many of these graduates-to-be are wondering just what's in store in the years coming up. Well, for the young man who wants adventure guaranteed, the United States Army now offers direct enlistment for occupation duty in the Far East. By enlisting in one of the 6 famous divisions now in the Far East, a young man will be with the highest type men. He'll visit strange and romantic places. In fact, he'll be one of our unofficial ambassadors to the lands where democracy is growing in action. He'll receive good overseas pay, comfortable quarters, wholesome food, and many extra Army benefits. There's a great deal for veterans, too. For those men who saw service during World War II, the Army now offers direct enlistment for occupation duty in Europe. So, veteran or non-veteran, ask your local recruiting office for complete information about the many enlistment choices open to you. Whatever your choice, you can be sure you're choosing a career that ranks high in excitement and adventure. The housing shortage being what it is, that room for rent ad never even saw print. 15 minutes after Jane phones the ad in to Mr. Davis, a prospective tenant appeared at the house. You know who it was? Mr. Davis, Match.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Davis. You mean you want to rent my sister's room in lieu of the money we owe you for the ad?
That's right. She owes me $101.25. How much is the room?
Well, we thought...
Seth, let me handle it.
I'd like to see the room, too. I don't trust either one of you.
Mr. Davis, that has all the earmuffs of a dirty dig. And I wouldn't rent you the room if you were the king of spades.
Seth, suppose you go in and get the room in shape and leave Mr. Davis to me.
Well, okay, but everything's happening so fast, I don't know if I'm going on horseback. I'll let you know when the room's ready, Paul.
Okay, Seth. Now, Mr. Davis, as you can plainly see, my sister is, shall we say, reluctant to rent the room to you. And the housing problem being what it is, and times being what they are, we might as well be realistic about this.
How much?
Huh?
How much do you want under the table?
Well, Mr. Davis, you're my kind of man. You come right to the point.
How much is the point?
Shall we say $25?
Okay. You guarantee I get the room?
Absolutely, but we'll keep this little transaction strictly between you
and... Yes, I understand.
Him.
20? Fine.
Thank you. That's fine. You're in, Mr. Davis. Yeah. Now, you just leave Mrs. Davis.
I'm home.
Oh, here comes her husband.
Hello, brother.
Well, how's the ex-Miller? Who's this?
Oh, this is Mr. Davis.
How do you do, Mr. Ace?
This is the Mr. Davis from the East Side Weekly.
That's trip. Right.
What? Okay, Mr. Davis. You can come in and look at the room now. Oh, hello, dear. You're home early, I'm afraid.
What's going on here? What room are you talking about?
My dear, just relax.
I'm about to.
Now, there's nothing to get excited about, brother. Mr. Davis is our new roomer here. He's taking the room in lieu of that advertising space.
But look, Lou, there will be no rumors here.
I'm sorry, you're too late. I've already closed the deal.
You close the deal, I'll close your eyes.
So step right up and try it.
Dear, no, he's wearing glasses and so are you.
I'll take mine off and he can take his off. I'll find him quicker than he can find me.
I am?
Look here, Mr. Davis, there is no room for rent here.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ace, you're too late.
You're not rooming here. Now get out.
You put me out and I'll sue you. I'll sue all of you.
Again? Well, if you're going to sue us, make it Judge Edwards' court. We pay from him all the time.
Three mornings later, one of my ulcers said to the other ulcer,
"Dearest, sir, where are we? We're in court, Hubble. Judge Edwards' court. What is this? A repeat broadcast? It's his wife. She did it again. Oh, boy, we got to have a party. Shall we dance? 1, 2, 3, kick. 1, 2, 3, kick. Oh, Hubble, lay off. The guy's feeling low enough as it is. Okay, I'm not off to dance too much. You see, to me, Hubble, I told you to lay off. That wasn't me. That's the judge making with the gavel.
All right, next case. Let's get some action here. Stanley Hillis versus Jane A. Step forward quickly, please. I want to get out of here as soon as I... Wait a minute. I must have misread this. The next case is Stanley Davis versus Jane A.
Hello, Judge Edwards. Long face, no see.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Look, I settled this case. My decision is final.
This is another case, Judge Edwards.
Another case? Well, isn't this the same man who sued you before?
That's right.
That's right, Your Honor.
That's right, my honor.
Silence in the courtroom. Now, Mrs. Ace, what are you this time, the plaintiff or the defendant?
You know, Judge Edwards, I never can get those two straight.
You spent half your life haunting me in court, and you still don't know whether you're the
plaintiff. Your Honor, I'm the plaintiff. I came to this woman's house to rent a room she advertised, and the price was all arranged, $101.25. Then her husband came home and threw me out.
Mrs. Ace, do you always get sued for $101.25?
Well, lately I have, yes. Have you noticed that, too?
Have I noticed it? I couldn't get away from it. Mrs. Ace, did you rent this man a room?
Well, no, not exactly.
Well, he said you did. Would you swear that you didn't?
I solemn swear that I did.
Put your hand down, Solomon.
Well, Judge, I have a witness that she rented me this room. This gentleman here.
Right here, Your Honor.
What?
Oh, well, it's Paulette. How do you do? My name is Paul Sherwood, Judge, and I can testify that my sister did rent a room to this man.
Now, just a minute, you. The last time you were here, you were testifying on her side.
That's right.
And now you're on the other side?
That's right.
Well, what goes on in here? Tell me, Paul. change her mind?
Your Honor, if I may say a word here.
Who is it?
I'm her husband.
Oh, her husband! You weren't in this little cast the last time.
No, Your Honor, but I want to say...
You'll speak when I ask you to.
I think I had some trouble with you before when your wife was on a jury in my court a few weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Your Honor!
Yes, my honor. I mean, yes, you did. You fined me $50 last time.
Yes, you stand by my DJ band. I'm not going to sit on cases like this without fighting somebody.
But, Your Honor, I only wanted to...
Silence! Let's get this over with. You two people, what's this all about?
Well, I rented a room from her, and then he threw me out. She owes me $101.25.
Now, just a minute, you. She owes you that money for some advertising space, isn't that right?
That's right, Your Honor.
Well, did she fail to make a weekly payment?
Oh, no, it hasn't been a week yet.
Well, until she misses said weekly payment, you have no case against her, and she's not obligated to rent you that room. As for you, Mr. Day.
Yes, my honor.
Yes, my honor. Look, if you fail to make said weekly payment to this man, you can be brought into court. And for heaven's sake, make it somebody else's court. And as for you, Paulette.
Yes, Your Honor.
Get lost.
But, Your Honor, I rented a room.
You heard my decision, Mr. Davis. It is final. My decisions I'm handing down here. Not a fifth changes hands, and I have to sit through all this aggravation. For what? Just because this woman doesn't know enough to... You, Mr. Ace.
Yes, Your Honor.
You're fined $50.
Well, what did I do?
You're her husband. That's enough.
Oh, no.
In just a minute, I'll give you the title of Chapter 10 and the story of Mr. Ace and Jane. This is Ken Roberts again, and right now I want to talk directly to those young men who are thinking of joining our new regular army. When you do apply, be sure to consider enlistment in the combat arms, the real fighting heart of the army. In these combat arms, you'll find the adventure and excitement which go with fast movement, quick decisions, and real leadership. Yes, it's in the infantry, the artillery, and the armored cavalry that we find the elite troops of the entire army. And it's in these forces that we find the greatest comradeship and esprit de corps, too. Talk over enlistment in the combat arms with your local recruiting office, and chances are you'll find they offer you a challenging experience along with a fine future. Mr. Ace and Jane will bring you Chapter 10, entitled, Jane Gets on a Quiz Program and is Answering So Many Questions and Winning So Much Money Until Mr. Ace Discovers How She's Doing It and Puts an End to This Atomic Bombshell of the Quiz Program. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it, How to Stop Radioactivity. Good night.
Me too.
The script for Mr. Ace and Jane is written by Goodman Ace. Original music conducted by Morrison. In the supporting cast tonight, we have Richard Bowman as Judge Edward, Leon Janney as Brother Paul, Art Carney and Phil Kramer as the Elders, Michael Fitzwarren and Arthur Benedict as lawyers, and this is Ken Roberts announcing that you may hear Mr. Ace and Jane next week at the same time over these same stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. And this is WCBS New York. Your precinct police station can give you full information about the Police Athletic League planned recreational program for the playtime of youngsters of all ages. Safe, sane, supervised play is the Police Athletic League plan. Visit your nearest precinct police station to enroll your child and to join the PAL.